This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Breaking news, the Kansas City Chiefs get in the deadline to Trey Smith. Trey Smith, this record extension, 4 years, $94 million, $70 million guaranteed. This has been reported by Ian Rappaport and basically everybody that covers the National Football League. The deal is done. There is no player this season that is going to play under the franchise tag after the Chiefs and Trey Smith agree to a four-year, $94 million, $70 million extension. We also saw Garrett Wilson sign a contract extension in the last 24 hours. Sauce Gardner also signed a contract extension. So the Jets are giving out big money. The Chiefs are giving out big money. We are heading closer to the start of the season. Now, KU fans, I don't want you to be too mad at me. We are still going to have on Travis Goff. He is the athletic director at the University of Kansas. But I hope you understand now with this Trey Smith news, now that things are official, we had to kind of move some things around. So Travis Goff will be on the show. And closer to the season, we are going to have Lance Leipold and Jalen Daniels on the show. You have my word. It is a promise. We will talk to the coach and quarterback of the Kansas Jayhawks, but we just will not do that today. I do hope that this will make up for it. I got a chance to talk to CC Sabathia earlier today. I will play that conversation for you. CC Sabathia is heading into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame coming up later this year. We'll play that for you coming up at some point in today's show. Nate Taylor is going to join us. He is no longer with The Athletic. He is now with ESPN. He is actually in Bristol, Connecticut. So excited to get his thoughts. Excited to get your thoughts. 913-586-7965, 913-586-7965 on this record-breaking day that Trey Smith is now the highest-paid guard in the National Football League. Before we dive into this topic, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend to check out the show. If you could do that, I would greatly appreciate it. Rob, this is where I would like to begin the show today. I don't want to have the same positional value argument that we've been having. I think I've been very clear about this. This is not a contract that I would have done. My positional value would not lead me to give a right guard $90 million and $70 million guaranteed. But I'm not here to tell you what I would have done and how I would have done things differently. You're allowed to agree or disagree, but this is just not a contract that I would have handed out. We can talk about what did happen and what that means for the Chiefs moving forward. But before we do any of that, I do think we need to acknowledge how incredible this is for Trey Smith. We are talking about a player who was drafted in the sixth round, a player who, if you remember, a lot of people had medical concerns, and that was a big reason on why Trey Smith had dropped and dropped in the NFL draft. We are talking about a player who made very little money by NFL standards for the first portion of his NFL career. He made $800,000 his first year, $1.5 million. Now, I'm not asking you to feel bad for Trey Smith clearing $800,000 or $1.5, but we agree for a guy that was giving you Pro Bowl caliber level play and pretty immediately exceeded his contract by being a starter in day one in the National Football League. By NFL standards, he has been underpaid since virtually day one of training camp. So to keep your head down, play to a Pro Bowl, help your team build one of the best interior lines in the National Football League, and then to turn that into $70 million guaranteed over the next handful of seasons, that is the definition of the American dream. You're excited to see guys get paid the way that Trey Smith just got paid. He has a great relationship with Creed Humphrey, a great relationship with the organization. He's been fantastic in the community. This is the example of what hard work should look like in the franchise. If you want an example of what it is to be a late round draft pick who exceeds where he was drafted, is a day one starter, a model citizen, a model player, and plays to the absolute highest level and gets the bag, Trey Smith is who a lot of players in the league should aspire to be. You won. You've won a handful of championships. You've gotten paid generational wealth to be able to take care of yourself and your family for the rest of your life and a lot of other people's lives. This is what you play this game for. This is the sacrifice that you make along the way to potentially be in this situation. And not just get the bag, but to get it from the team that you want, the organization that you want, and to be in a situation in which you feel comfortable and can continue to help you grow. We're talking about Trey Smith going from just being a Pro Bowl player to turning into being an All-Pro player as he hits the prime of his career. So I think before we try to pick this deal apart, I think we do have to take a step back that we are talking about a player who was selected in the 200s. I mean, we're talking about a player who was the 226th overall pick back in 2021 and has now finessed that into $70 million guaranteed. So salute. This is the first point while I will be critical of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I don't even know necessarily if it's me being critical about the Chiefs. The excuses for the offense, in my opinion, are done. The Chiefs offense for the last couple of years have kind of been surrounded by mediocrity. Now, that's for a lot of different reasons. Whether last year it was the offensive line issues, whether it has been some injury issues, some transitional issues, whatever it has been, the Chiefs offense has not been very high flying. The Chiefs offense hasn't been potent. It hasn't been that dangerous quick strike offense that we have sort of been accustomed to the first 3-4 years of this dynasty. That conversation is over, in my opinion. You cannot spend more resources on the offensive line than the Chiefs have had in the last handful of years. They gave their left tackle $21 million guaranteed. And if he doesn't start, it's their first round pick at left tackle. They have a second-round pick, we believe, projected to play left guard. They have the highest-paid center in the National Football League. People believe that he is the best center in the National Football League. They have the highest-paid right guard in the National Football League. Their second-highest-paid player on this year's team is their right tackle. You cannot spend more resources on the offensive line than the Chiefs have. Some of the excuses for their offense are done, in my opinion. This needs to be a team that runs the football effectively this year. Last year, I looked this up, the Chiefs were 16th in rush attempts last year. Average. A lot of you don't think the Chiefs run the ball. They tried to run the ball last year. They were 30th in yards per carry last year. Now, again, some of that is injury. Some of that is personnel. I fully understand that. The Chiefs this offseason didn't make a lot of moves when it came to the running back room and didn't spend a lot of resources in that running back room. Where did they choose to spend those resources? They chose to spend those resources up front and help bolster that offensive line. Everybody said they needed a new left tackle. They went out and got one. They doubled up and got a second left tackle. They paid Creed Humphrey. They paid Trey Smith. They spent a valuable resource to go get Kingsley Suamataia. They spent money on a right tackle. There are no more excuses to me when it comes to this offense. you believe that you have everything that you need to go out there and be a top five, top eight offense in the National Football League, then go do it. You've got the quarterback. You've got the head coach. You believe you have the weapons on the outside. The Chiefs, based on their moves, think that they have one of the three best offensive lines in the National Football League. You have to feel that way, based on the amount of resources that they put up front. It's time for this offense to get back to what it was a couple of years ago when Mahomes won MVP. It's time for this offense to get back to being a dangerous, quick strike, big play offense that can really pummel other teams. That's not how they've won the last couple of years. They've been effective in spots, but they've won this because their defense has really led in a lot of ways and been one of the top three, top four defenses in the National Football League. The AFC is getting more and more competitive. The quarterbacks are getting better. The coaches are getting better. I want to see the offense for this team continue to evolve. How do you do that with a quarterback that is in his prime and head coach right now who is probably the greatest living offensive mind when it comes to head coaching and an offensive line that you have pumped a lot of resources in? So we're going to break down this contract all day. We're going to get Rob's opinion. I want to get you guys' opinion on it. And Trey Smith got the bag. But what this signifies to me is this team can't be 17th in offense this upcoming season. Not when you spend the resources that you've spent. You spent a first-round pick on a wide receiver, a second-round pick on a wide receiver. You gave your tight end a raise. You have drafted other wide receivers. You spent big-time money on the offensive line. The Chiefs have to feel like they have all of the pieces in place to go out there and have a dynamic offense this year. I can't wait to see it as the football season gets closer. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we'll be joined by CC Sabathia. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, host of the Random Royals lineup on 96.5 The Fan.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
I want to answer this text on the text line. CDOT, how do you cancel KU Day? You guys knew this contract was happening. It's not a big deal. I mean, this is the truth about what happened to KU Day. We were going to record the interviews last week during their media day. The only time we ever got offered Jalen Daniels was at 2 o'clock last week. I mean, kind of the point of it is to have the time to record, to load them all kind of on one day. So our choice was either take their tight end, who respectfully, I just don't really know who their tight end is, or wait closer to the season. So, I mean, if you want to know what happened to KU Day, I will take full responsibility if that's what happened. I recorded with the athletic director last week. Lance Leipold is on vacation. Jalen Daniels is back in California. It was either take the good players later or take a bunch of KU football players that I don't really know right now, and I imagine many of you don't know either. Rob, you can stand for me and vouch for me. So if people are mad that we had to kind of move some things around for KU Day, I certainly understand it, but that is what happened. Everybody else has just recorded already. KU didn't record theirs. They wanted to do it live, and then the schedules just didn't really add up for us to do KU Day. I didn't make the decision to cancel KU Day. I don't mind having a KU Day. I enjoyed my conversation with Travis Goff, but that's what happened with Lance Leipold. Can you back me up on this, Rob? I don't want the people thinking that I tried to finesse them on KU Day, because I didn't.
Absolutely not. Schedules didn't align, but I have a strong suspicion that heading into KU Mizzou, I guess it's week, is it week two?
Week two, yeah, September
6th. It's the third game of the year, but it's week two. College football's weird. The third game of the season before week two, I have a hunch that Jalen Daniels and Lance Leipold will be on the show to preview the border, is it showdown? What are we calling this now that is back and happening this year?
It's just Missouri and Kansas to me. I don't know what kind of fancy words people are using to describe when those two teams play each other, but I promise you we will have Lance Leipold and Jalen Daniels on the show coming up very, very soon. Rob, I want to get your thoughts on this contract as well. I think you and I kind of stand in the same place when we were talking about positional value. I don't want to spend all day arguing about positional value. This just is not a contract that I would have done. So I disagree with it from that context. I would have let Trey Smith hit free agency. That's not where we are. I don't want to go back and have the same conversation that we were having whenever he got franchise tag. Now it's about moving forward. 4 years, $94 million, $70 million guaranteed. All this contract says to me is, I think the Chiefs were able to 100% execute their offensive plan this offseason. Everything that I believe the Chiefs set out that they wanted to do on offense, I think they've done it. The Chiefs needed to go get a left tackle. I think they got the exact left tackle that they wanted. I think in the draft, they got the exact offensive lineman in round one that they wanted. They found good value in the mid rounds going to pick up Jalen Royals. The Chiefs clearly didn't think that they needed to take a big swing at running back. They waited until the seventh round. They brought back Hollywood Brown this year. They brought back Juju Smith-Schuster. Their whole thing was continuity this upcoming season. So now that you have your offensive line in place, you have your wide receiver core in place, I just want to see the Chiefs offense get back to being dangerous, getting back to being explosive, getting back to having a knockdown punch that can put teams on their behind. That really isn't what we've seen from the offense the last couple of years, but the pieces are certainly there and locked in. The Chiefs have to feel like they have a top five offense in the league. I want to see them go out and execute and be a top five offense.
I think I'm going to try my hardest to do what you do and not just rehash the positional value conversation we have had dozens and dozens and dozens of times on this show. But I do think one thing is of note with this deal, and Joel Corey said it on the show last Friday. The Chiefs feel like they handed all the leverage to Trey Smith ahead of this contract. They had traded Joe Tooney because they had made the decision of the two guards were picking Trey Smith. They offered him the tag. He signed the tag immediately, which basically set a baseline. You're giving me $23 million, $23.4 million a year minimum. That's huge leverage in Trey Smith's favor. They have built their offensive line on the idea that they're going to keep their own. So one thing that hit me about this contract is exactly what you said at the start of the show. It is fantastic for Trey Smith. And Trey Smith, the person, and Trey Smith, his family, and everyone in the immediate Trey Smith circle should be having a party today. He went from, you know, health risk sixth round pick to the highest paid guard in the history of the league. I'm happy for him. For the Chiefs, I don't think they handled this correctly from a leverage position. They had a choice to make in March, Joe Tooney or Trey Smith. I feel like when they didn't get Trey Smith extended last year, but did get Creed Humphrey, they had made their decision. And yet they turned around and did the opposite. I feel like this deal is a lot built on the Chiefs just handed every leverage advantage to Trey Smith. And I think in that world, they did a pretty good job of making it team-ish friendly. But when you give the player all the advantages of the negotiation, the player's going to get over on you in the negotiation, which is what this contract feels like to me, because it's highest APY. It's the highest contract in the history of a guard in the history of the National Football League. His base salary is the same as what his cap number was. I mean, it's just all the things that the Chiefs and people have told me the Chiefs don't do. They don't have the highest da-da-da. They gave Trey Smith all the leverage. He took the leverage and ran with it. Good for him.
Yeah, I just disagree when it comes to leverage. Like, I don't really know how the Chiefs were supposed to play that part differently. The Chiefs had two guards who are looking for new contracts. One is in their 30s. One is in their mid-20s. They were not going to pay both of them. They move on from the older one. They get a pretty decent draft pick for him. They flip that into something, and they move forward with the younger player. Like, I don't really know when the Chiefs were supposed to reach this deal when it comes to Trey
Smith. Last offseason. Like, and that's, I'm trying to rehash kind of history we had.
Yeah, but that's me, though.
When they did Creed Humphrey, that was the time to do Trey Smith.
Yeah, but I just don't really think it's fair to now be critical of the Chiefs for not giving their right guard a contract at the end of his third season. You're usually not waiting until you're usually not moving to the front of the line your sixth round right guard. I do think the Chiefs have kind of played this in the order of when you usually do it. Now, if you want to have that conversation now about Trent McDuffie, I'm happy to have that conversation. But if now the criticism to the Chiefs is, well, you should have signed him after his third season instead of after his fourth season, I just don't think that's a very fair criticism towards the Chiefs. And I think if you were going to pay Trey Smith, it was just always going to be really expensive because you look at him as being one of the better guards in the National Football League. Speaking of Trent McDuffie, that number has certainly gotten a little bit bigger. So all of, I would say, his peers have now gotten paid. Sauce Gardner has just gotten paid. We'll get you the deals of that, the terms of that coming up in just a bit. Patrick Surtain II recently got paid. Derek Stingley Jr. had also gotten paid for the Houston Texans. So at this point, I would say out of that young 25 or less very talented cornerback market, there is only one left who is waiting for a contract extension. Now, we'll see if that contract extension happens this offseason or the Chiefs are going to wait till next offseason with Trent McDuffie, but we have a pretty clear understanding of what the number is going to look like if they want to sign 22 to a new deal.
Sauce Gardner, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, the young all-pro, has now agreed to terms on a four-year $120.4 million contract extension. Per the insiders, it is $30.1 million per year. Now the highest paid cornerback in NFL history in this deal done by AJ Vaynerchuk and Alante Gardner of Vayner Sports. And of course, this comes on the heels of another huge deal that the Jets did yesterday, locking in Garrett Wilson more than $30 million per year on his deal. You know, the Jets have spent so much time going into training camp over the course of the last decade or so, dealing with issues, just endless issues heading into training camp. This year, with the new regime, with Darren Mooji, with Aaron Glenn, it is clean. Contracts done. The Jets can now head into training camp with the focus only on the field. And that is a huge, huge deal for them. Once again, Sauce Gardner, now the highest paid corner in NFL history.
So I think the next, I guess, evolution of this topic is simply waiting to see when that contract comes in, what it looks like for Trent McDuffie. We can continue to have the positional value argument. If we're having a conversation about paying the right guard, then I am firmly on the side of paying the all-pro corner. Trent McDuffie's a better player than Trey Smith is at a more valuable position. Like, this isn't going to be, to me, an argument that needs to be had coming up in either the next couple of days and weeks if this gets signed, or next offseason if Trent McDuffie goes out there and continues what he's done for the last handful of years or so. So that's not something that I'm really worried about when it comes to this deal. I would pay Trent McDuffie. I understand what the market says, but I'm always going to be in the business of keeping great players on the roster.
I think that Trent McDuffie is a great player. I think he is in this conversation. I think if you were looking at the four very talented young corners, he is standing right there alongside Sauce Gardner, alongside Patrick Sertan II, and right there with Derek Stingley. So I think you have to pay him. So I think the next conversation that we are talking about with the Chiefs, if you want to look forward just a little bit, you got two guys that now you need to worry about. You need to worry about Trent McDuffie and how you lock him in long term. I think you also have to look at George Karlaftis and what a contract extension looks like for him. Two players at very important positions. One gets after the quarterback, one's defend the pass, but two very important defensive pieces for what you're trying to do. I also think it's very important for the Chiefs as they move forward to kind of establish what their next core is going to be around Patrick Mahomes. It's changed over time. At one point, it was Tyrann Mathieu. At one point, it was Frank Clark. At one point, it was Mitchell Schwartz. You had kind of paid certain guys big-time money. Well, as those guys are retiring or moved on to different teams, now you're trying to determine, as Mahomes enters his 30s, who that new crop is going to be. Trent McDuffie is one of those kind of players. George Karlaftis, you just paid Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey. You are establishing what the foundation for the Chiefs is going to look like as we are probably in the second phase of Mahomes' career. We're out of that first tier, and he was an incredible phase, and now you're kind of in that second phase as he is heading closer to 30 and this second portion of his career.
I think the Trent McDuffie conversation, at least for me, I can connect it to Trey Smith this way. Me and you can disagree. We can argue about how I think the timeline of the Trey Smith not getting the deal done last offseason affected this offseason, and that's one of my larger points here. I think with Sauce Gardner done now, if I'm Brett Veach, I feel a clock ticking. They're going to camp in, what, 7 days? They start practice 6 days before they get up to the dorms? Get a Trent McDuffie deal done in the next 6 days. Because as a Chiefs fan, what I don't want to see is fast forward 12 months, the Chiefs are going into the final year of rookie contract with Trent McDuffie, which means there's pressure to get a deal done. And they'd also be, in 12 months from now, going into the final year of rookie contract with Rashee Rice. Now, I don't know what Rashee Rice's contract is going to look like. He's only played one full season in the NFL. There's a lot of TBD there. But those are two players that I bet if we polled Chiefs fans, they would consider both those guys part of the next core. You know, it's no longer Kelce, Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, Mahomes. It's a new core. I'd imagine most Chiefs fans have Trent McDuffie and Rashee Rice as part of that next core. So you cannot be late getting these deals done. So I know Sauce Gardner's deal is massive. I mean, he's getting, what, less guaranteed money than Trey Smith? So it's a big deal that could be coming down the pipe for Trent McDuffie. But I feel like you have to get it done now, because if it's, you know, April, May, June, July of 2026, and you're going into the final year of Rashee Rice, and you're going into the final year of Trent McDuffie in the same offseason, you then run into a logjam problem, and then Karlaftis becomes part of that problem. And it's a good problem for the Chiefs to have. They have a lot of good players you want to lock up, but you try to get these things done a year ahead of time, and Trent McDuffie right now would be a year ahead of time. I would like to see them get it done sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I guess maybe just you and I just have different roster. Like, you're big on just signing guys the moment that their contract is up. Like, the moment that year three is up, when you can start to negotiate with guys, you're like a little bit more eager to kind of get those deals done. I'm willing to do that for some players, like Micah Parsons, for example. I think I'm willing to have that conversation with someone like him. I am willing to kind of play it out with some other players to kind of see how the rest of their deal is done. Someone on the text line says, why in the world would Trent sign a deal now? I don't really know why he wouldn't sign a deal. There's no other corner that's kind of in that market. Like, he's the last one to get paid. So I think what the argument would be for why he would end up signing a long-term deal, I think that answer would be very, very simple. The market has been set. There's nobody that's coming in that you think is going to be able to change the market for what you're talking about. I mean, right now there's three corners that have been paid over $100 million. All of these guys have been paid in a very short period of time. So Sauce Gardner just got paid. J.C. Horn just got paid this offseason. You saw Derek Stingley Jr. also get paid this offseason. And Pat Surtain II got paid last year. So I think the argument for why would Trent McDuffie sign a deal right now is, I mean, the market says that you're worth $30 million. Go get you $30 million. That's what the market says that you're worth. If you want to know what the price range looks like for him, Trent McDuffie is worth $30 million and probably somewhere in the $75 to $80 million range. I'm just going out there to get it. I don't think that Trent McDuffie can do too much to make his number go up much higher than that this offseason. If you're telling me the highest contract right now is 120.4, McDuffie probably gets 122, somewhere in that range. If you kind of add a little bit of sauce on the top of it, no pun intended, and you get paid a little bit more, I don't really know if there's much of a value if you're Trent McDuffie in waiting now that you've already seen the Sauce Gardner contract go ahead and get signed. We actually talked about this a couple of days ago with Joel Corey of CBS. We asked him about this and what he thought when it came to the Trent McDuffie contract. Here's what he said.
Well, he has no reason to do a deal right now from this standpoint. He probably wants to wait for Sauce Gardner to get done because the Jets have some talk about trying to get him done and also Garrett Wilson. Although Sauce Gardner had his worst year of his three-year NFL career in 2024, I expect him to reset the market. He'll go above Stingley's $30 million per year. I want that data point in the marketplace before I'm negotiating anything about McDuffie. So there's incentive for him not to get a deal done now.
Yeah, I don't think there was reason to kind of do it before the Sauce Gardner contract. But now that you think the Sauce Gardner contract, now that you see what it is, you see what the number is, I think we're kind of pretty close to the range of what we're talking about. I want to go back just a little bit and read a couple of these texts. Are you guys arguing that Trey Smith isn't worth this deal? Someone else was going to pay him this exact amount. You can argue positional value all you want, but someone is going to pay these guys what they're asking for no matter what. That's certainly the case. I mean, my argument more with Trey Smith is just simply this is just not the position that I will allocate this kind of money to. Like, if you were looking at highest paid offensive linemen in the National Football League and what that contract looks like, Trey Smith is now the seventh highest paid offensive lineman in the National Football League. I think a lot of you love Trey Smith. I just don't think he's the seventh best offensive lineman in the National Football League. So my argument is not that no team would have given Trey Smith this contract. If he had hit free agency, he probably would be on the Bears. He probably would have got the Bears to give him the 4 years, $94 million. If this is an exercise that you want to play, usually the teams that end up spending this much money at this position, I don't know if they're organizations that you want to copy. The other highest paid players when it comes to interior offensive linemen are Atlanta, Carolina, and Minnesota. Now, Philadelphia has paid Landon Dickerson. He got a lot of money, but Landon Dickerson got $20 million less than what we're talking about with Trey Smith. That is just a difference of opinion when it comes to a roster building and team building exercise. Someone says, why would you pay Trent McDuffie, but you wouldn't pay Trey Smith? Well, one plays corner in the NFL. Like, if I had to make a ranking of how would I value the positions from one to bottom in terms of importance? So obviously, quarterback is number one. Quarterback is the most important position on the field. I think that's one thing that we would agree with. And then you go to DN. You would go to corner. However you would rank them, I just would have guard near the bottom of it. So if I'm allocating my limited resources when it comes to the salary cap on who I'm going to pay and who I'm not going to pay, I would have been much more anxious in trying to get a deal done with Trent McDuffie and trying to figure out a different path at guard than the Chiefs did. They have built their team very differently. I mean, their way clearly works. They won multiple Super Bowls this way, but that's my argument. The argument is not that no one was going to pay Trey Smith this deal. He obviously was going to get it from somebody. I just would have made sure that it was Chicago. I would have made sure that it was Carolina or one of those kind of teams. And then via the draft, you do what the NFL is. You try to find a replacement younger and cheaper. This is where I think, Rob, you and I maybe disagree the most when it comes to these things. Sometimes the best value for a player is on their rookie contract. Yes, it sounds great to sign guys to a second deal, and you got to obviously sign some guys to second contracts, but the value for Trey Smith was when he was a sixth-round pick, when he got a four-year, $6 million contract. You will never get a better value for that. You got a $90 million player, and you paid him $6 million over the last couple of seasons. A tremendous value. So the same way that we have this opinion at running back, or the same way we have this opinion at other positions, that you simply go back to the draft, you roll the dice again, you try to come out with a different outcome, that's just what I would do at right guard. Look at what you've been able to do when it comes to interior offensive linemen. You drafted Nick Allegretti, you drafted Trey Smith. You've done really well with finding these kind of players. I just would have spun the wheel again and just tried to get a different outcome and tried to continue to have that value when we're talking about that position. But the Chiefs just made a different decision and they try to find value elsewhere. They find value at wide receiver. They found value at running back. They found value in some ways at corner. So they just build their team differently from a salary cap perspective than I would.
You know, me and you are going to agree on positional value with right guard. And I think if we were to rank the positions and you went right guard and left guard, you would have right guard behind left guard because of the with a right-hand throwing quarterback. You would take a Joe Tooney over a Trey Smith. And that's no knock on Trey Smith's ability, but positional value-wise, the Chiefs have bucked what I think the correct positional value game is. The last, like, three off seasons, they paid their center. I don't know I would have paid the center what they paid the center. They've now paid their right guard. They paid their middle linebacker.
I
know I wouldn't have paid him.
I actually think, at least when it comes to that concept, I actually think that I would have paid Creed Humphrey over paying Trey Smith if I was only going to pay one of them.
I agree with
that. I think I would have paid him. And this is just maybe where we just disagree a little bit on the player. 913-586-7965. Let me try to find the tweet that it was. I think Philly is a good comp for us. You wouldn't pay a guard, and I wouldn't pay a running back, but both have paid their quarterback and paid a guard. There's nothing wrong with what we did for a potentially Hall of Fame guard. I just don't think that's what Trey Smith is. Now, I know that you guys don't usually get caught up on accolades, and that's perfectly fine. Trey Smith has made one Pro Bowl and never been an All-Pro player, so he's not a potential Hall of Fame guard. We're not talking about that they just paid Will Shields to a deal. We're not talking about that he's Brian Waters. We're not talking about that. Trey Smith is a good player, a very solid player, a player that you were very happy to have on your team, one of the better players in the league at his position. But I don't see him as a potential Hall of Fame, you can't move forward if you had moved on for him kind of player. I just don't evaluate him that way.
Let me ask you a question. Based on that sense alone, you always say, do not pay good players great contracts. Do you think the Chiefs just did that with Trey Smith?
Yes.
I agree 1,000%. And that's where me and you are seeing this different than the text line. I think the text line thinks Trey Smith's a great player. And I think he's a very good football player. I don't want to make it seem like I think he's, you know, he's Swiss cheese at right guard.
I think he's a good player. Right, I think he's a very solid player.
There's no way that Trey Smith should be the highest paid guard in the history of the NFL. Just none. And if I had told you a team gave Trey Smith the highest contract in the history of the NFL, if I told you that in February, if we rewound the clock 5 months, you would have told me, and the text line would have told me, there's no way the Chiefs are doing that. They just did. They paid a good player a great contract, which is usually a mistake in the National Football League because it's a cap league.
Yeah, and someone says, C-Dot, you're not being fair. He's only played in 3 years. I mean, maybe he takes that next step in his career. I mean, that's certainly possible. Does he take the next step to being an all-pro caliber kind of player? It's perfectly fine. And then someone just said Pro Bowls or votes, they're not a good evaluation. He's never been an all-pro. He's never been an all-pro in his first 3 years of his career, or 4 years in his career. He's played 4 years now. He's never been an all-pro. Where we're talking about with Trent McDuffie, he's played 3 years in the league. He's been an all-pro in two of those first 3 years at corner, a super competitive position if we're talking about fighting for accolades. So again, I don't want the point to be that I don't think that Trey Smith is a good player. I obviously think that he is a really good player. Right now, he is being paid like he is the seventh best offensive lineman in the National Football League. That's just not how I would have paid Trey Smith. This is not the money I would have given him. I would have moved on from Trey Smith back in March. I would have taken that money and I'd have used it towards pass rush. I would have taken that money and I'd have used it towards somebody who can get after the quarterback. And I just value that position a little bit differently. The Chiefs made the decision to pay one of their homegrown guys, a guy who has been great in the community, been very consistent, been healthy, and to keep the interior of their offensive line solidified. Great. My point back to the open is, there are no more excuses for this offensive line. I don't want to hear it anymore. You have paid your right tackle. You've paid your left tackle and spent a first-round pick on them. You spent a second-round pick on your left guard. You have spent a second-round pick and paid your center. You just gave your right guard $95 million. There are no more excuses for this offensive line. This offensive line needs to be really, really good. We have seen what the standard for an offensive line looks like. It looks like Philadelphia. Philadelphia had a dominant offensive line. I want to feel like this season, you see the Chiefs' offensive line be dominant. I want to see the Chiefs' offensive line go out there and beat people up. Because you were telling me, based on the resources that you've spent, that's the kind of offensive line that you think you got. You got an offensive line that you think can go out there and dominate games, keep Patrick Mahomes clean, control the line of scrimmage, run the football, dominate in short yardage situations. You got to think that based on the amount of resources that they've spent. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, Nate Taylor is going to join us on the show. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
One of the beautiful things about sports talk and just sports in general is just the difference of opinions. It's what makes it so fun every day. I want to read this tweet to you guys because this is just a topic that we disagree on, and that's perfectly fine. CDOT, we saw in two Super Bowls what happens when Pat doesn't have a solid line in front of him. There's no complaints here. Let's hope that Trey Smith's best football is ahead of him. You wanting to go pass rush over O-line after watching the Super Bowl is insanity. I mean, this is a stance that I've had from the very, very beginning. I find it hard to believe that. Now, I think the Tampa Bay Super Bowl can't be put into the same category. They were ravaged by injuries at the end of the season. You didn't have your starting left tackle or right tackle. Mike Rimmers is just, he's not an NFL starting caliber player. So I think the problems that we saw in Tampa are different than what we saw against Philadelphia. The Chiefs didn't make a whole lot of changes this year on their offensive line, where, at least in my opinion, some of that is a philosophy standpoint on why the Chiefs got beat up so much up front. Some of that is just personnel. We saw that offensive line hold up pretty well for 2 months against basically all of the other good teams in the NFL outside of the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, they beat Buffalo with that same offensive line. They beat other really good, really talented teams with those same five offensive lines, and they just got beat up in the game against Philadelphia. But I think other things failed them in that game as well. The Chiefs were kind of one-dimensional for the second half of the season and were able to kind of mask it in some different ways. I think that came to a head in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs really only had one dynamic playmaker on offense the final 2-3 weeks of the season in Xavier Worthy. And I think the Chiefs got, I think the Eagles got really physical up front with Kansas City, disrupted a lot of timing and threw a lot of things off. Maybe where I'm different from, I think the masses when kind of looking at what went wrong in the Super Bowl is, I think a lot of things went wrong more than just the offensive line. I think basically everything went wrong. Where in the first Super Bowl loss, I don't think their offensive line was good enough to give them a chance to compete. I think their offensive line last year was good enough to compete. And if I'm honest with you guys, I'm not sure if their offensive line today is much better than the one that they had in the Super Bowl. So if you're telling me that you don't think that one was good enough, well, from center all the way over to right tackle, it is the exact same offensive line as the one that got beat up by the Philadelphia Eagles. And now they have added Kingsley Suamataia and Jalen Moore. I think their offensive line should be good this season. I think their offensive line was capable in the Super Bowl as well. Some of it's coaching, some of it is bad habits from Patrick Mahomes, that one team just is uniquely positioned to be able to figure it out. Some of it is a lack of playmakers on the outside and guys that could get open, and some of that were the injuries that this team faced throughout the season. I mean, no Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown was playing probably at, 70-80%, didn't get his legs fully under him. I don't just think it was one or two players on the offensive line. I think the Philadelphia, for the most part, was better than Kansas City at just about everything and took advantage of that in the Super Bowl.
I feel like I understand why fans scapegoat the offensive line in the Super Bowl. I really do. But it wasn't like the Eagles did it by like exotic blitzes, or it was just the Eagles' D-line.
Beat them up front. Yeah, just beat them up.
And to your point, it wasn't like re-signing Trey Smith to a long-term deal and keeping Creed Humphrey long-term has made that different. Now, you're right. I don't think there's many teams. I think there's more than one, but I don't think there's many teams in the NFL that just have the horses up front to really dominate the Chiefs' offensive line.
I think it's a combination. Really quick, though, I think it's a combination of both of the things. I think that Philadelphia has the defensive line to really take advantage of you. I also think they have the corners to be able to do it, too. Like, it's kind of that cat and mouse, chicken or the egg. I think they got enough to play press coverage and really dare you to get open. We saw a lot of times where Travis Kelce is really running free in the middle of the zone. You can't do that against Philadelphia's defense. Hey, we're going to play really physical, and we're going to dare one of your guys to run past us. And last year, the Chiefs only really had one player on defense or offense that could really run past you, and that was Xavier Worthy. They took him out of the game for the first three quarters of the game and basically shut down almost everything the Chiefs wanted to do offensively. You couldn't run the ball. You constantly find yourself in third and long situations. Who do you go to on a third and long situation? And they really exploited you to me up front, and they also exploited you in the secondary.
They just, and I, we've talked about it a lot, the Eagles didn't do just one thing. The Bucs Super Bowl, I think, was, I mean, there were other things that went wrong. It was one thing. Like the video of Patrick Mahomes, what's the one play where he throws the incompletion to Darrell Williams? He runs like 53 yards in one play to avoid pressure. That's because he was running around with five non-NFL players in front of him. The Eagles Super Bowl is different to me. The Eagles dominated every single facet. The Eagles O-line dominated the Chiefs D-line. The Eagles pass catchers dominated the Chiefs secondary. Like, there was, if you rewatch the Super Bowl, there was not a single, you know, tail of the tape, as we used to do on the show, where it was their offense against the Chiefs defense. There was not a facet of that game where the Eagles were the inferior team. And then that singular game, Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes. So when people are like, well, if you watch Super Bowl, get the offensive line fixed, you're done. That did not fix all the problems. There were massive problems all over the field, and the Chiefs' game plan this offseason is run it back. We think it was a really bad day. We'll see. It's possible Brett Veach and co. are 100% right. Everything that could go wrong went wrong, and we feel like if we're in a fight, we still have the superior talent. It did not look that way on the field in New Orleans, but their game plan this offseason has been give us a second shot at it, and we will be better, because all their moves, outside of left tackle, every move the Chiefs have made is, we're fine with our group. Let our group try again. Outside left tackle, it's the same team coming back with a few changes sprinkled in. Noel Williams is your new third corner. It's the same team, though.
Yeah, someone on the text line, I want to read a couple more of these texts. CDOT, I love the show, but this line is already better than a 30-year-old left guard playing left tackle and a rookie at left guard. I'm just not 100% sure that that is the case. I will say that is the biggest question for the Chiefs heading into this year. The biggest question is, from what you got at left tackle at the end of the season in Joe Tooney, I thought Joe Tooney was a really, really fine left tackle. If Joe Tooney played left tackle all the time, Joe Tooney would be one of the better left tackles in the National Football League. So I don't want to paint it like I think the Chiefs were very deficient at left tackle. I think the Eagles are one of the teams that can take advantage of it, but I don't think a lot of teams have the defensive line presence that Philadelphia has. I'm also not entirely sure that they have made an upgrade at left guard. Let's see how the season goes. But the Chiefs, they quit on Kingsley Suamataia real early last year. He didn't finish game two before they were like, no, we got to get him out of here. Now, that was at left tackle. They're now moving him into a different position where you're going to have health. You're going to have a year of all of those things. So all of those points are fine. But I'm not entirely convinced that their offensive line is a drastic improvement over the one that played against the Philadelphia Eagles. Could it be better? Sure. It also could be worse. Like, I don't think we're really having that part of the conversation enough. I would say that's what makes them the ultimate coin flip. The ultimate question mark is the hope, the expectation is that their offensive line is going to be better. They've certainly spent a lot of resources for it to be better, but they can absolutely be worse than the one that played. I'm not saying how they played in the Super Bowl. I'm saying the five that they put together, they can be worse at offensive line than they were against Buffalo, for example. That was a pretty capable offensive line. You went up against probably, what, one of the five best teams in the NFL last year in Buffalo. Pretty good defensive line, pretty capable defense, and I thought you held your own against that team. I just don't see their offensive line issues maybe as dire as everybody else. And I think some of that was game plan. I think some of it is scheme. I think some of it is coaching. I think Philadelphia just whipped up on Kansas City, which that happens sometimes. Sometimes it's just not your day. But for a offensive line that really prides themselves on being physical, man, a bunch of those guys come back this year. Creed really stresses how physical he is. Trey Smith is a very physical guy. Hey, I want to see the Chiefs be the ones to deliver out the punches, because what I saw Philadelphia do with their offensive line was dominate Kansas City's defensive line. When was the last time you felt like Kansas City's O-line really did that? Are they going to have the ability to do that? And as I said earlier, they've spent the resources to be able to do it. You spent $21 million on Jalen Moore and a first-round pick on a left tackle, and now two of your five highest-paid players play on that offensive line. I expect their offensive line to be really good and not a point of concern for most of the season. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, Nate Taylor is going to join us live from Bristol. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.